Total Tuscany Podcast, episode 57. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Your source for all things Tuscany. I'm Travis Justice, co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, joined once again by the other co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Travis, it's great to be a co-publisher.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
What does that actually mean, co-publisher?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
It does sound good.
Sounds professional.
Here's what it is. We put up a website, and we had to call ourselves something, so it's co-publisher.
That's right. Sounds good.
But we're also co-hosts of the Total Tuscany Podcast, and co-hosts of the Total Tuscany Experience, where you can travel with us to Tuscany right now. And it's not really traveling with us. We are with you to make sure your Total Tuscany Experience goes off without a hitch and make sure that you enjoy your time in Tuscany. And you can join us now or you can allow us to join you, should I say. Our next Total Tuscany Experience, September 29th through October 6th, 2018. Limited availability is still there. Just go to TotalTuscany.com for more information, and you can reach out to me or Pat if you want to begin the process of how you can experience Tuscany in a unique way, a one-of-a-kind way, and hassle and worry-free.
Well, that's the key. What we offer is not a tour. We are not tour guides by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we call ourselves travelers.
Yes.
And
travelers who know people and can get you in the right places.
Places that you wouldn't otherwise go. And so if you want an immersion trip experience to Tuscany, contact us.
Yes, it's the Total Tuscany Experience. Just go to TotalTuscany.com. Of course, you're probably wondering, well, where do I stay when I go to Italy or when I go to Tuscany? And we've been proponents of, and will continue to be proponents of, the villa experience. In October, our guests got to experience one of the most fabulous villas we've got to stay in. And we believe that the villa experience, especially if you have a group of six or more, is ideal. And it really gives you that Tuscan experience you're looking for.
It's that opportunity to stay in the countryside and enjoy and absorb things that you just wouldn't see while you were in the cities, and kind of drive into a town or village a few minutes away and experience the quiet life.
Of course, whether you're doing a family trip where you have the grandparents, the parents, and the great-grandkids, whether you have just a couple's getaway, or you have the all-girls getaway, because that's very popular, where a group of women will get together and relive the Francis May's dream that is under the Tuscan sun. We recommend the villa experience, and we only recommend one villa provider, and our recommendation goes to Parker Villas. You've heard about Parker Villas on this podcast before, and that's why we believe in having Parker Villas back again and again and again, because their properties, Pat, really are the premier properties in Tuscany.
Well, it's quality. And quality matters to us. It's a long flight. It's a long flight.
It is.
We want everything to be perfect for our guests.
And that's why we are happy to be joined once again on the Total Tuscany Podcast by Mario Scalzi from ParkerVillas.com. Joined again on the Total Tuscany Podcast by the one and only Mario Scalzi, who, Pat, I believe has the deepest voice of anybody we've ever interviewed. Don't you think, Mario? Where'd you get those pipes at? They come from your dad, your grandpa? Who'd you get them from?
I'm not quite sure. I think they came from the North End of Boston, the Italian section, where you had to stand on the corner and make yourself heard.
You know, before we started this podcast, I was talking to you about my recent trip to Boston, and I was amazed. You mentioned the North End. I was amazed by the Italian heritage that is in Boston. Before we dive into Italy and Tuscany and everything about that, talk about the Italian heritage just in Boston in general, because I was impressed by the whole area.
It's as much as things have gentrified over the years, that quarter of the city has pretty much remained intact. Whenever Italian property owners, villa owners, come over to Boston, I take them down to the North End, and we go into a coffee shop, and I'll tell them, just be quiet, listen, and you'll suddenly hear people speaking to each other in Italian. It's not the scholastic Italian that they're used to, the Italians are used to hearing in Italy. It's more the dialects that came from maybe 100 years ago and mixed in with English. So it's a it's a language. It's a patois all of its own. And they and the Italians that come over are just fascinated by this, because back in Italy, this doesn't really exist anymore. Everybody's been homogenized from television. We walk into a pastry shop. You probably checked out Mike's Pastry or Modern Pastry yep. on Hanover Street. And the Italians, again, flip when they see these pastries that in Italy they don't even make anymore. I mean, you may find a little place in outside of Naples or somewhere in Sicily that does some of these things, but to walk into almost like a smorgasbord of all these pastries that they've heard about, their grandparents used to make, just again flips them out. It's a time capsule.
That's amazing. That's amazing. We go to Italy to go back in time and experience a different, and they're coming here and doing the same thing. I wouldn't have expected that.
Right. Yeah, because time froze when these people emigrated to the United States, and they brought with them the traditions of those days, and those traditions in Italy, you know, the country has evolved, it's modernized, and so they come here and they see an Italy from 80, 100 years ago. And they're just gobsmacked, I guess is the best word for it.
Are there any other places in the States like that? I know New York has Little Italy, but I've never felt the traditions anywhere else in the country that I did on the North End. Is there anywhere else like that?
I believe there is in New York, not the Little Italy that we know about, but in the Bronx, there's a main street, and it escapes me right now, that is similar. And also Providence, Rhode Island has a section which is Italian. The Northeast is where a lot of immigrants ended up settling.
It's just fabulous. So I just wanted to let you know I was in your neck of the woods. I got to experience it and loved every minute of it. Now, let's transition into Italy. We've had you on the Total Tuscany podcast a number of times. How's business? How is the villa business? Are people still interested in villas? And is this still the way people want to see Tuscany and maybe the rest of Italy?
It is, and we're having fun with it. It takes us, the problem with us is more product than it is people. It takes us a couple of years to get a property online, because we start with something that is pretty much a ruin, and we get involved with the architects in putting it together for a rental and the decor and everything else, and training the homeowners and the entire understanding of our culture in terms of even the reconstruction of a place. So it takes a while before it's ready to be photographed and it's ready for prime time. And we have fun with that. It's harder for us to take an existing property that's designed for a different culture, the Italian culture, or European culture, and we have different needs. So it's just better to start from the ground up.
Mario, I think we've talked about that before, but could you tell the listeners what it is that your villas, your Parker Villas, offers for our culture, that so that they know what they can expect? What is it that you're offering that's unique from those Italian properties?
Well, the basic things in our one bedroom, one bathroom, an equal ratio of beds and baths, air conditioning, minimally at least in the bedrooms, screens and windows. Now, these sound like common, ordinary things, but when you look at the European culture, Italians almost shun air conditioning. If they get into a car that's air conditioned, they'll put a scarf around their neck, even if it's 85 degrees outside. It's not part of the culture. The other major item is living room. We like to sit around the living room and chat. And Italian living room, and even growing up in Boston, in the Italian sections, the living room was something covered in plastic that you only went into when there was a baptism, a wedding, or a death in the family. Other than that, the place was a mausoleum. And Italians have skimped on the square footage of living rooms because they dedicate the room to the dining room. They sit there for hours. With a meal. A meal can last 9 hours. Whereas we'll eat, but then we're going to go sit in the living room, relax, sit around the fireplace, and have a drink.
I've never been part of a 9-hour meal. What do you talk about over 9 hours? Does politics come up? Does religion come up? What comes up over 9 hours sitting at a table?
Everything comes up, and there's it's very animated. And the animation sometimes gets, may even get a bit physical. But at the end of the meal, everybody kisses, makes up. They're volcanic, and yet at the same time, very peaceful. Because whatever eruption takes place, it's over. There's nothing held back. There's no rancor that remains for, you know, a future date.
That's amazing. A lot of us in the States could learn from that, couldn't we?
Yeah. If you get up from the table, you know, I guess the unwritten rule is when you get up from the table, everything has been settled and sorted out.
That's the way it should be. So what's new for Parker Villas? We've focused on Tuscany, and we've had you on before. Is Tuscany still the prime region? Are there other areas starting to develop that people are becoming interested in? What are the trends you're seeing right now when it comes to travel to Italy?
The other regions will ebb and rise in popularity depending on what media is out there that's making them, bringing them to light. But Tuscany remains the number one attraction. It's geography. It's central. To Italy. So if you want to take a day trip and drive up to Venice in 3.5 hours and take the train, or do the same in Rome, same distance, or go to the Italian Riviera, same distance. So it's a very central hub from which to spoke out in many different directions, not to mention that Tuscany itself, when you have incredible cities of art like Florence and Siena and Lucca and Pisa and Gimignano, and the list goes on, and the wine capitals of the Chianti region, Montepulciano to the south, which is having a is getting discovered, which really thrills me, because the region of Montepulciano is probably the one, when you look at those calendars in the shops of Tuscany and you see that that little green hill in the distance with two cypress trees, that's that region. The Chianti is far more wooded than the southern part, and it's just it's all eye candy.
Are there some new villas coming on in the Tuscany region?
Yeah, we're actually I'm working on one right now. There's about two or three that we've just put on. One of them is Villa Teodoro, which is between Lucignano and Montepulciano. And Lucignano is a hill town. Again, these things go back 3,000 years back to the Etruscans and even before that. And it's built in concentric circles, and it's a small little hill town. And every month they have their pagan rituals of spring, so everything erupts into song. It's the lyrical hill town of Italy. So they have their Maggiolata festival. Montepulciano on the other side has wine. And this property, Teodoro, sleeps six bedrooms, six bathrooms, private pool. We've worked on it for a couple of years to get it, and now we've just finished the photographs, so we'll be uploading all of the photographic service for that one. And it's in a great location to move up, to move throughout Tuscany at ease. Stellina, Villa Stellina just went up, and again, it's a soft launch of these properties because we're finishing the photo shoots, and you have to depend upon the weather. You can't do it on a cloudy day, and you have to send photographers back and forth until you get it right. And Stellina's 6 miles as the crow flies from the center of Florence. And it's the earliest we could find its roots was from the, it was there in the 14th century, but we suspect it's even older because the base, the foundations of the building are so thick. It's in some places like 10 feet thick. So we assume this place was a fortress that eventually turned into some form of monastery. And that sleeps 10. That's 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, again, with private pool. 5, 6, 4 bedrooms are the magic number.
Yeah, and that, you know, every time we've utilized your services, that's been the magic number we've been looking for. You know, when we go to Tuscany, and we noticed it when we were there in October, you have properties that are finished; they look absolutely magnificent, and you have many properties that you see the potential, but they're dilapidated, and because they're centuries old and they're hard to upkeep. Now, people may not know this, but construction moves, I think, fairly slow in Italy, and also the investment is rather large. Are you seeing, because you've been doing this a long time, since 1993, are you seeing more Italians refurbish and rebuild these properties, or are you seeing more foreign investment to make this possible?
Foreign investment. The Italian, as much as he loves his being Italian and loves his country and everything it stands for culturally and historically, it's inconvenient to live out in the vineyards on the hill town, on the outskirts of the hill town. It's far more convenient to live next to a major metro area in a high-rise condo with two parking spaces in the indoor garage, everything on one level with an elevator. So they're abandoning these stone farmhouses when they can. The real estate market is not that great right now. It's still, but it's still higher than what we would expect. So a lot of these properties would retail, generally retail anywhere from €1 million euro, so to call it $1.2 million US dollars, to 5, 6, even I've seen them even at 10 million. So they're hard to sell to an Italian who's planning to live in the countryside, far more easier to sell to someone who is looking for an investment to make it run as a villa, but yet at the same time know that at some point in the future they're going to leave it to the kids, they're going to have this place they can go to forever, and the real estate will eventually continue to appreciate. In fact, one of the villas that we're working on now is a villa we've had for years, but it was just sold to an American couple, clients, and they're refurbishing it. I don't have to go in there and tell them what to do. They're Americans, so they know what the villa needs to go into its next phase.
So, Mario, you that sweet spot of 5, 6 bedrooms. Is there any any listeners that have maybe a larger group coming over for Tuscany? Anything that Parker has in its
The Villa Carrera just came online this year, actually came online softly last year, and we're done with all of the work. The first guests have been there now for a few months. We've had guests going there, and we've perfected it. And that is a 12-bedroom, 12-bathroom house, air-conditioned. And one of its major attractions, aside from the size, is that you step outside the gates, and within 100 feet are the gates to the walled hill town that is right next door to. So a lot of people dream, you know, I want a villa in Tuscany and I want to be able to walk outside and go to the coffee shop, to the cafe and get a cappuccino. And that's usually impossible because the places that are on the vineyards and the olive groves, it'll probably be like a 5-minute drive to a village. But here, this one here has its vineyards and olive groves, and it, the walls of the villa are attached to the walls of the town. So it's quite an amazing thing.
You know, on our last podcast, we had Mary Shea from Crocetto di Castellina on with us, and she said her vineyard is seeing an uptick in wedding activity. When you book trips for families, are you seeing it as family reunions, as just family trips, all women trips, weddings? What do you, what's the trend you're seeing?
The biggest group is the multi-generational. Grandparents with their grown grandchildren and with their grown children and grandchildren in tow. And that's where you come into the 12-bedroom home, depending on the size of the family. That is the by far the largest group. The second largest group is the friends who travel together, like you and Pat do, and bring other couples along with them. And then the third group is the girlfriend trips, where they leave the husband's home or they send them up to Scotland to the old courses, and the women take the villa and do all the wine tastings and have their own fun. Weddings, it's very complicated to truly get married in another country, especially in Italy. However, we have been involved where people have managed to find a reverend or someone who will give them a blessing that looks like a wedding ceremony, but it is not, because they got married here in the States before they ever left. But we shy away from those things. We go crazy enough trying to make sure that that house is perfect. And the last thing we can't deal with is the color of the napkins and the flavor of the cake. And that's beyond our abilities to get involved with. So and more importantly, even for the owner, if it's a house for 10, it's for 10. We're not going to have 100 people in a tent in the yard and ruin the garden for the next group arriving the week after.
Mario, are there any other properties in Tuscany or maybe in one of the surrounding communities that you're excited about?
Well, I'm excited about Teodoro and Villa Stellina and two smaller apartments, because it's nice every once in a while to have a couple of two bedrooms or one bedrooms right outside of San Gimignano, because that's almost a couple. That's almost how we capture clients sometimes. Like a couple will go, or two couples will go on a trip and stay in a smaller place, and then they go, wow, and then the year after they bring everybody, so then we need the bigger home. So yeah, I'm excited about every single one as we put it online. When we're writing the descriptions, when we're working on the photography, when we're doing the helping the owners with the decor, as far as we're concerned, that's the only house we have.
And how many houses do you have now total? If somebody's going to go to parkervillas.com, which I highly encourage everybody to do, how many homes do you have online right now?
Only about 75, somewhere in that range. We don't want a lot. Part of what we do is, aside from the cultural things of, you know, ensuring that there's ratios of bathrooms and living rooms and so on, it is our staff in Italy, and they're constantly inspecting the homes. They're showing up. We're having them show up to do check-ins and checkouts just to make sure that the owners got it right. We call every client Sunday morning. The arrival is on Saturday. We call them on Sunday. How's the house? Is it clean? Is there anything missing? Is there anything you need? Is it exactly as we've described it? And if there's just a silly thing, tell me what it is. And we'll make sure that it gets done. So that's really, I think, the strength of what we do. And you can't do that with 1,000 homes. You can't do that on a website that has 40 million homes in 50 countries. Impossible.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up in your staff in Italy. And Pat, you had to utilize the phone number and call a Parker's employee the last time. It wasn't an emergency, but I think we just needed a question answered, and the response was almost immediate.
It was fascinating because we have so much fun working with the local. In fact, we stayed in one of the Parker properties. The owner couldn't speak English, or the property owner, but Parker called on Sunday. We had a small little issue that was taken care of immediately, and it helped with the translation.
Yes, I think that the translation, because things do get lost in translation, and sometimes I don't know if I told you guys this the last time, but we had a client staying at a villa, and we organize in-house meals. So a cook will come over, a local cook, not a Michelin chef, but someone from Tuscany will come in and we'll cook a home cooked meal. Her English was not that great. The clients didn't really speak Italian. And at the end of the meal, they had a great time. They asked her if they could have a doggy bag. So what they were envisioning was that whatever leftovers were there, that she would wrap them up, put them in the fridge. She looked at them, grabbed all the food, and ran out crying. So they called customer service and they said, we don't understand what happened. We asked for a doggy bag and the woman took all the food that we paid for and ran out with it. And she seemed upset. So we called her and she said, I've never been so insulted in my life. They told me that the food was not fit for a dog.
Oh man.
Doggy bag is not, it's something we made up in this country. It doesn't exist in Italy. So when people say things like right off the bat, it has no equivalent in a country that doesn't play baseball. And doggy bag just had no equivalent for her. So when she really, we brought the two together and they realized that then the tears became laughter and they had more dinners and it just all ended well. But it's yes, sometimes translation can have its little challenges.
I do want to say, if you're listening to this, you go to parkervillas.com. Parker Villas is much more than just villas, too. They can help you out with your rent-a-car, your day excursions, your cooking classes. So you're much more than just villas, correct?
Yes. The only thing we don't want to touch is airfare, because it's just not what we do. It's not our area of expertise. What we will help people do is figure out the logistics of the geography, what they want to do, where they want to go, and how to move around from there. And for you guys, I have you heard of Aglione?
No.
Okay. Aglione, Aglione. Aglione is a type of garlic that is grown in the Montepulciano, Val di Chiana area. And you have to make sure you sample it when you get there. The cloves are much bigger than what we're used to. And the most important thing about aglione is that it is sweet. It doesn't make your breath stale. And you eat it. They make a dish, peachy, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is that hand-rolled pasta that they make, all'aglione. And it's probably a mouthful to pronounce, but aglione is the Tuscans are finally getting smarter. People have stolen the word Tuscan and used it for so many things. I feed my cat Tuscan chicken, because that's what they give. That's how the cat food company sells it. So the Tuscans are now starting to claim their items and copyright them and make sure that they're, you know, protected. And Aglione is one of them, and you'll discover it on your next trip, because they're really getting, like, Canina beef, which is another Tuscan specialty. It's you know, everybody here talks about Kobe beef. Well, try a bistecca Canina next time you're there. Yeah, the food just can't be beat. I'm excited about having people try all these different things when they get there.
Now you've got me hungry. You've got me eager to travel. You've just got me all excited. I'm sure you've got all the listeners excited. Mario Scalzi from ParkerVillas.com. Check him out if you want your villa, whether it's a one-bedroom or up to 12 bedrooms. Parker Villas can help you out. Mario, it's always great to talk to you, and thanks for joining us again on the Total Tuscany Podcast.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Pat and Travis.
Mario does live like the ideal Italian life. He's got the Italian name. He lives in Boston, which has a huge Italian population and culture, which we talked about. And he goes to Italy at least twice a year to look at his properties, to inspect his properties, get to know more people, to bring more properties online. He has a great life.
He does. But the one thing that I've always noticed about Mario, he has an appreciation of the history and the Italian experience, moving from Italy to the States and then back. And it's a unique he has perspective that I appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's always good to talk to Mario on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Don't forget about the Total Tuscany Experience. It's coming up September 29th through October 6th, 2018. Limited availability is still there, but if you want to join, if you want to go to Tuscany, if you want to be worry-free, and that means you have your villa lined up, you have your transportation lined up, you have all your meals lined up, and you really don't have to worry about a thing except enjoying yourself and drinking really good wine and enjoying the great views, go to TotalTuscany.com, where you can join us in Tuscany this fall. It'll be a trip you will not forget. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. It's always good to talk, isn't it, Pat?
It's a great time. Great, you know, time we live.
We have this like little Tuscany podcast radio show, and we've been mentioned by many people all across Italy, all across the country. Our listens are way up. It's good to be back in the studio. And if you've taken the time to spend the last 30, 35 minutes with us, please tell a friend about us. Please tell all your travel enthusiasts about us, because it's easy and it's fun to talk about travel. But most of all, if you have any Tuscany questions, whether or not you want to go on the Total Tuscany Experience or not, reach out to us. We're more than happy to help. We can help you plan your trip. We can help you do the logistics of many things, because logistics is a big part of it. I mean, where to go, how to do it, and how long to stay in a certain area. So we can help all around.
We take the planning out of your... you don't have to do any planning.
You really don't. info@totaltuscany.com is the email address. info@totaltuscany.com. Until next time, this has been the Total Tuscany Podcast.